Good morning, everybody. It is January 3rd, 2022. Welcome to the new year. We are back at it here on the ADK Homeroom. Glad to be here. Our studio, my studio, is still in construction, I guess you could say. We are working here. But I'm going to start recording anyway because I have missed doing this. So we're going to go over the news of the day here, January 3rd, talk about all kinds of experiences that have been, all kinds of experiences I have had over the last couple of weeks since I haven't been able to talk to you. So let's get right into it with the holidays. I went on vacation over 4 different states, I suppose, in the last couple of weeks. And the difference between New York and, frankly, every other state that I was in is striking. When you come into New York, everybody's wearing a mask. All the restaurants, theaters, shopping centers, anywhere you go indoors. And it weighs on you. It weighs on me. It reinforces this fear that people have, that they're constantly in peril. It makes people think, oh my God, world needs to stop. I need to shelter in place. This is a disaster. What are we going to do now? I need to protect my kids, circle the wagons, sound the alarms. Government, come help me. Somebody protect me, save me, please. That's what you see when you come in to New York State. I will say, though, that unlike the last time New York State had mask mandates, I think last spring, I don't know if we've had them since last spring of 2021, unlike last time, nobody is enforcing them. Nobody cares. I have been going everywhere without a mask on in New York State, and usually I'm the only one. But nobody says anything. At least nobody says anything about putting your mask on. I shouldn't say that. One person. She was very, very young. In fact, she's my former student. And she runs a business up here in the North Country. And when I came in, she said, oh, I try hard not to tell my elders what to do. But can you put your mask on? It's the rules. Now, I don't think, actually, that she does try hard not to tell her elders what to do. I actually think she really enjoys telling her elders what to do. I think that she is all about the rules. This is only one case, of course. Should we extrapolate and say that the young people are much more likely to be into the mask mandate? Should we say that the young people are foaming at the mouth, rabid, ready to attack anybody who doesn't conform to their rules? Well, I don't know. Maybe not from just this one incident, but I have to tell you, in the classroom, year after year after year, it's getting worse. It's getting worse. The students that go through the classroom year after year are getting more conformist, less respectful of freedoms. They think that they're getting more tolerant, but in fact, they are getting less and less tolerant every single year. You know, some of the highlights from my teaching career, I do surveys, of course, all the time, and Some big highlights are right around 2007 or so was the first time that I started having students tell me that the right of a bird to live or the right of a pig to live or the right of an octopus to live was equivalent to the right of a human being to live right around 2009. I never had that before, never seen that before. And then right around, I would say, 2018, 2019, I started having students tell me that it was okay to restrict the speech of other people, a lot of students. I had a couple people before this, but it's pretty much the majority now within the last 5 years of students that say it's okay to restrict free speech. Free speech is not a good thing, and we should cut down on it. We should recognize in their opinion that speech is violence, and we have to stop the violence. So that, you know, they think they're being more tolerant. They think they're being more respectful of other people's rights to be free from violence. But in fact, they are failing to see the difference between speech and violence, and they are become less tolerant of other people's ability to speak or right to speak freely, which is, of course, essential to moving on. So that's the only person who has told me to stop wearing, to stop going free in a store. And since it was her store, I said, hey, your store, your rules. Of course, I believe that any business should be allowed to set its own rules like that. You should be free to deny service to anybody that you want for any reason in your store. And that goes for large corporations too. Large corporations, small corporations, those are private. And you need to be allowed to set your own rules. So other places in New York State, though, for example, in our grocery stores, I've gone into our grocery stores plenty of times without a mask on, every time I go shopping, in fact, and no one has said a thing, not the other customers, not anybody working there, no one at all. In fact, a couple of people have told me that I was a hero. One of my former students' parents came up to me and said that, wow, I can't believe you're in here. This was in a grocery store. I can't believe you're in here without a mask on. That takes balls. That takes balls. I really wish I had balls. Now, this was right before Christmas, but I didn't get her a set of balls for Christmas or recommend any sort of trans operation there. Because, of course, she's speaking metaphorically, obviously. But the truth is, guys, that you can do it. You can do it, too. It takes bravery. It's not always the most comfortable, knowing that it's the rule and knowing that you're the only person that is doing it. I haven't seen anybody else do it. Except I do know of a couple other people who are doing it, but I haven't run into them. Defying, disobeying, practicing civil disobedience here in New York State. But when you go in and do it, you just have to remind yourself that you're doing the right thing. You are on the right side of history. You are standing up for freedom. Tell yourself that. Take solace in the fact that you are standing in the same place that other heroes have stood. And maybe they fought a battle that was bloodier. Hopefully this doesn't come to any sort of violence at all. It should not. Should not. I don't recommend violence. But you are standing when you go into a store and you don't wear a mask. You are standing in the same place as, well, in Lake Placid, they have John Brown Farm up there. Now, John Brown was a terrorist. And John Brown fought slavery with his terrorism. And he paid the ultimate price for it. Am I equating mask mandates to that? No. No. Thank goodness those battles have already been fought so that we don't have to fight them. Our ancestors won great victories for us there so that we can play Xbox. But I am saying that you are following in the spirit of those waves. And hopefully we won't have to pay the ultimate price that John Brown did. Hopefully we can still continue to play our Xbox games and enjoy our amazing life that our ancestors have set us up for. But at the same time, you do need to recognize, people, that you have to fight now. You have to stand up and do this now. And you have to take your place in this long spiritual line of succession and fighting for what's right. Because if you don't fight now, you will have to fight later. If you don't go to the boardroom now, you will have to go to the battlefront later. You need to show up to meetings. You need to practice civil disobedience so that you don't have to practice martial warfare, martial disobedience later. Stand up. Stand up for what is right. And it's just so striking how stupid it is in New York State when you go to other states. Travel through Ohio. Nobody's wearing a mask there. Anywhere. Go to Indiana. Nobody is. And look at the numbers. Indiana is way, way, way better than New York State in deaths per capita in the current wave, and way better overall. Pennsylvania and Ohio doing worse than New York State in the current wave, slightly, but way better overall in the pandemic than New York State. And certainly there's no huge difference in the current wave between these different states with their different mask policies. So in the absence of a huge difference, why would you be doing something that hurts kids, hurts adults, perpetuates a state of fear, and teaches people that they are under threat, that they are constantly in danger of some horrific fate when it is not the case? Just people in New York State, take a look at your neighboring states, go out there and then come back to New York State and you will see how silly it is that you are walking around wearing masks. New York State has far, far worse deaths in the current state than many other states, in the current wave, than many other states do. And those other states are far more free. Let's look at some other stuff that is going on here, guys. How about Spider-Man? I'll talk more about Spider-Man the movie, but I saw Spider-Man over the break since I've been able to get in here into the studio, such as it is, and talk to you. And I'll talk more about Spider-Man in its own podcast, but holy cow. Disney obviously thinks that May and Peter Parker, there's minor spoilers here. I won't get into major spoilers until I do the review, but minor spoilers coming up, so you can skip ahead a couple minutes if you want. But wow, Disney clearly thinks, and the movie people making it, the director and the writer, they clearly think that Aunt May and Spider-Man, Peter Parker himself, are morally correct, right? So John Watts, the director, Chris McKenna, Eric Summers, the writers, they seem to think that, I'm avoiding spoilers here, that what May and Peter Parker decided to do in this movie was the morally correct thing to do. But the actual events of the movie are really not supporting that conclusion, like not even close to supporting that conclusion. If you look at the events of the movie, I think it's a no-brainer that Peter Parker and Aunt May were really, really wrong. I don't even know how you can support the idea that they're right without just ignoring the rest of the movie and saying, but here's what I learned in my college ethics class. Yeah, well, here's the thing. Your college ethics class sucked. It was stupid. Those professors have no good morals whatsoever. It's insane. I'll do a full Spider-Man review at some point soon. But holy shnikes, that was a great example of people not understanding their own movie or their own story. Wow. What else is going on here? Well, you've got AT&T and Verizon giving the finger to the federal government, right? The FTC, FCC, rather, Federal Communications Commission. And Pete Buttigieg, they have said, no, we're not going to delay the rollout of 5G. The FCC asked them, they said, hey, you know what? The airlines are talking to us and they say, maybe your 5G is going to interfere. And even though you spent billions to buy the rights last year in a monopolistic coercive practice between the government and these so-called private companies that are really just in cahoots with the government here, complete rent seekers. Even though you spent billions of dollars last year to buy up the C-band and we took the billions of dollars from you, now we're going to ask you to not actually use that stuff, and we're going to ask you to delay your rollout of 5G. Well, Verizon and AT&T said, heck no, we are not going to do that. We'll see what happens. This only started happening like 3 days ago. Buttigieg sent a letter to him saying, hey, why don't you delay it by a month or two? We know how that goes. Just imagine your government saying, hey, why don't you delay these advancements by a month or two? Is that really what you want your government to do, delay advancement? This is the same thing that you see with the FDA deny testing in disease control, whether it's for the current pandemic or whether it's for AIDS in the 1980s. The government is constantly standing in the way of progress. This is literally the government standing in the way of progress saying, hey, 5G people, maybe we shouldn't get that so soon. Why don't you just delay that for a while we sort things out with the airlines, right? I mean, please, folks, this has already been sorted out with the airlines ad nauseum over years. 5G is one of the most studied things ever. The airlines are idiots to begin with. They tell you to turn off your cell phones were taken off. They are lying to you when they say that could interfere with the communications. They are flat out lying to you. There is no way that your cell phone will do that. They are just being lazy. They are maintaining their own little sphere of power, and they are trying to, keep their contacts in the government kowtowing to them. They're trying to maintain some sort of dominance over other people who might want to operate in this arena. And so that's what you're seeing there. The airlines don't want to have to worry about it. They don't want to have to do any sort of tests on 5G. They don't want to have to consider that they might not be able to use all these different wavelengths that they were accustomed to having elbow room in the past. It's just silly. And this is exactly what you would expect from these people. You would expect 5G and Verizon to say what they're saying. You would expect the government to do what they do. There's nothing that is surprising here. It's just that it's one more disappointment of the government standing in the way of progress, and people don't talk about it. But that's what happened on Friday, and we'll see what happens today with this fight over 5G and the government trying to delay it. By the way, of course, the AT&T and the Bell system was created right around World War I when I believe the post office, of all things, took over the Bell system in the name of protecting it as a national interest during the war. And then, of course, they used the tired old argument that, well, you can't have a duplicate telephone service. So we're going to outlaw other telephone services. We're going to prevent the other other companies from coming into the telephone sphere. And that's how you got the giant Bell system monopoly in the 20th century. There were plenty of other competitors for the Bell system going into World War I. World War I is in so many ways a watershed event for the 20th century. Imagine the 20th century without Nazis, without Nazi Germany, without the Soviet Union. And right, both of those had their fountainheads, had their origins in World War I. So such a watershed event for those things, and on a much lesser degree, but still a significant degree, you had the formation of the Bell monopoly really becoming solidified. It had already started before that with the Kingsbury commitment or the Kingston commitment, whatever that was called, when the federal government agreed not to break up the Bell system under antitrust laws. They worked out a sweetheart deal there, and it was rent seeking, of course, by the Bell system, and the government got what it wanted out of it, which was namely power, wealth, and control. And then it became worse in World War I, and it got really bad in the 1920s. And that's how you got that giant monopoly. It was certainly not a natural monopoly in any sense. All right, so that's what's going on there. We'll see what happens. Next up, you've got the Russian saber rattling still going on in Ukraine. I have a friend who says that China, excuse me, that Russia is absolutely going in on Ukraine. I don't know. I don't know. I feel that the odds are against it. I do not think that Russia, despite the fact that they are sending all sorts of signs about this, I don't think they're going to go in. I think if they had planned on doing some sort of modern blitzkrieg into the Donbass region, that eastern Ukrainian region, I think they would have done it over Christmas. Instead, we saw 10,000 troops move back off the front lines right in that Christmas week. And there's a very limited time window here. I think if Russia doesn't go in by the spring, then all kinds of logistical reasons will mean that Russia is not going to go in the short term, barring some, always barring some sort of cataclysmic change in the geopolitical scene. All other things being equal, ceteris paribus, I don't see Russia going in there if they haven't done it by spring. And I really don't think that they will, because in the ultimate calculus, Putin is making a personal decision. Every decision is a personal decision when it is made by a head of state, and that fact doesn't get enough attention. But the personal decision by Putin will be, am I, Vladimir Putin, better off going in to eastern Ukraine, or am I better off continuing as Europe's energy tyrant and maintaining the status quo? And I think he's going to decide that he's better off maintaining the status quo. Yes, in 2014, Russia had success annexing the Crimea. I think they see this as different. Yes, they've had some humiliations like the HMS Defender incident. Yes, they lost a little bit of face with the Turkish drones over there, the TB2 strikes, taking out some of their howitzers. But I don't think that Putin is going to retaliate because of those insults. Those insults are not quite as personal as his decision to move in or not, and his own personal welfare. I don't think it's slam dunk, though. I think there's a chance, significant chance, that Russia still does go in, uncomfortably high chance. But in the end, I do not think that you will see a large-scale invasion of eastern Ukraine, or even I don't think you will see all-out war between Russia and Ukraine. Next, what's coming up? Well, Attorney General Mark Brnovich from Arizona says that he is predicting that the Supreme Court of the United States will strike down the Biden administration's proposed vaccine mandates on U.S. companies. I'm still not sure where the authority for that would come from anyway. It's really complete dictatorial power. We'll see. We will see. But I think that he's right. I think that the vaccine mandates, as they currently stand, will. Let me walk that back again. I don't think that he's right completely. I think that he's right in that there will be some modifications to what's allowed, but I think that ultimately the Supreme Court will allow some altered form of, perhaps only even slightly altered form of the vaccine mandates and mask mandates to go through. I think this because I think that you've got, you know, the four liberals, right? Roberts, Kagan, Sotomayor, and Breyer. And yes, I absolutely do mean to include Roberts along with the liberals there. I think it's obvious that he is. He is a statist, big time statist. Maybe not liberal theologically, but in terms of favoring state power, Roberts is right there with the worst of them. So I think that those four will get either Barrett or Kavanaugh to side with some form of mandate in the interest of public health. They will find some justification for that. So I actually think that the mass mandates and the vaccine mandates will in some way, shape, or form stand up. I do think that Brnovich is correct that the current formulation will need to be altered, will need to be changed, but it doesn't look good overall for this. I don't think that the way out of this pandemic and the way to stop having this fear covering our faces, smothering us, I don't think that the way forward here is going to be through the Supreme Court. I think that the way forward here is going to be through the ballot box and through the boardroom and through the meeting room. So with that said, get out there. Get out there. Just like I said at the start, you need to start practicing some civil disobedience, everybody. You need to start growing a pair, as that lady in the grocery store was saying to me. I wish I had balls. You know what? This is one of those cases where wishing can make it so. You just have to be brave, you know, and one of the ways to be, first of all, you have to know what bravery is, right? Bravery doesn't mean being scared. It doesn't mean you're not being scared. Bravery just means that even though you are scared, you do what you need to do, and you do it the right way, and you do it that way every time. That's what bravery is, being able to act even though you're scared. Everybody from Harper Lee and To Kill a Mockingbird to Spider-Man himself has told us that over the years. So wishing can absolutely make it so. Take a look in the mirror and tell yourself, I'm going to be brave today. So go do it. Go stand up for what's right. Go be brave today. I will talk to you all again tomorrow. Take care, folks.